CBS News special report. Police in New Orleans say a driver intentionally slammed his truck into a group of people on Bourbon Street early this morning.
It is a very tragic situation for me to tell you that we know we have 10 people that this man killed.
New Orleans Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick says another 35 people were injured. CBS reporter Katie Weiss says after the crash, the driver opened fire, wounding two police officers. They are in stable condition.
Witnesses described it more as a rifle-style automatic weapon who shot allegedly at these police officers. But as far as what may have happened, we're still trying to find out.
This medic was staying at a nearby hotel for New Year's Eve.
We heard loud banging sounds, and when we looked out the window, we noticed there was a lot of bodies laying on the ground.
The FBI says an improvised explosive device was also found near the scene. The Bureau has taken over the investigation. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing recycling tips for the end of the holiday season. According to a press release, DNR officials are reminding residents that things like holiday light strings, cords, and plastic bags should not be put in the recycling bin as they can get tangled up in equipment. Batteries and electronics should also not be put in recycling as they can cause a fire if damaged. Items like cardboard, glass, and aluminum cans can be recycled, and a full list of accepted items can be found online. The sniffles, sneezes, coughs, and wheezes could be coming your way. It is cold and flu season, after all. Are you taking your over-the-counter medication properly? Brittany Merlot reports.
Got that common winter cold coming on? You should know that there are common mistakes happening when people pick up over-the-counter medicines.
Patients at times may not read the labels or know what the active ingredients are in each medication.
That's Stetson Petrikis, an Aspyrus pharmacy resident. He said that sometimes people are taking two different products with the same ingredients in them, which doubles the dose and may increase side effects.
It is best to talk to your doctor when, say, if you have a cough, if you've been trying to treat it over the counter and it's been about a week and then the cough gets worse, let your provider know.
He says read the label and make sure it's not a combination product.
Sports bring a lot into the Wisconsin economy, and basketball is no different. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
The Bucks are a multi-billion dollar operation. A recent NBA franchise valuation report reveals the Bucks rank 19th in the NBA with a value of $3.9 billion. The valuation is way up from a $550 million purchase price in 2014.
I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
The Bucks beat the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks struggled in the first half, but were able to pull out a 120-112 win on the road over the Indiana Pacers. Doc Rivers on what made the difference in the second half.
Well, you know, at halftime, I thought offensively we didn't play well. I thought we took pretty much bad shots. We turned the ball over. And then the wide open shots we had, we didn't make. And we were down 11. And so I'm thinking at halftime, like, this game can go our way still. I thought the zone turned the game around for us, obviously, defensively. And I thought we fell into two sets, that our spread and our angle, where we spaced the floor open so we can go downhill and make plays. And I thought our passing improved in the second half. And once we start passing to each other, we kept scoring.
College hoops. Number 8th ranked Marquette beat Providence 78-50 in Rhode Island. Cam Jones with 18 points and 10 assists for the Golden Eagles. NFL, the Packers back at practice, preparing to host the Bears on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today here on New Year's Day, although we may see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 20s with wind out of the west at around 10 to 20. Tonight we'll drop into the mid-teens. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, colder with a high in the upper teens to near 20. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane, Matt Nair, and Greg Bach.
Happy New Year. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff wishing you the best for 2025, especially curated. Matt Nair on air coming up for you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Director's Cut. We appreciate you joining us so much for this Christmas edition and a Christmas tradition around here, as I think this is our third.
Yeah. Inviting our esteemed colleague, Melissa Kay, to join us for Christmas. So it's not just the news. She gets to have a little fun with us, too.
I'm now your esteemed colleague?
You are esteemed colleague,
yeah. The Christmas spirit infected him. I think that's likely because I have never heard those words come out of his mouth.
You've made it to a point in your career where you're esteemed. Like, that's something it's a goal of mine to, like, make it to a point where people refer to me that way.
Am I esteemed like a dumpling or am I esteemed like a spinach because I prefer the dumpling?
All right.
I cannot express to the audience how busy Melissa is. We really appreciate you being able to make the time to hang out with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
What we're going to do today is discuss Santa. We're talking about not the guy himself, not the actual man in charge or anything, but the actors who have played Santa over the years. Certainly been a lot of Christmas movies in history, so we're going to kind of get into this one.
I would like you to know the excessive amount of research that I did for this.
Oh, wow.
I watched one entire movie and 9 trailers.
Perfect.
And also, half of those trailers I watched in double speed, just so I could get here on time.
Can't say she didn't do her homework.
I did.
She crammed.
And maybe we'll find out from Melissa. You only needed to watch one. Maybe you found your Santa right away.
I did.
I think for a lot of us, actually, that I say it out loud, that we have, like, you watch other movies with other Santas, but there's always that one Santa in your head.
You always come back to,
That you refer to. So I'll go ahead and give the list, and then we'll kind of give our mentions in and everything, give ours. And, of course, we encourage you in the comments or reaching out to us with your favorite Santa.
Of course.
Everybody, especially if we forget anybody.
Absolutely. Because this is not an extensive list.
No, nor exhaustive. Yeah.
Right.
So tons of actors have played Santa Claus in the movies, but who played him the best? Well, according to a list, here are your answers. Now, you guys want to go from 10 on up? I think that's a fun.
Yes,
or 8. Yeah, 10.
No,
I'm sorry, 10.
10.
Let's start at 10, yeah.
So starting at number 10, the great Ed Avery from A Nightmare Before Christmas from 1993. Wonderful voice actor.
Santa.
Wonderful voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
And a very, like, if I got to find Santa's voice, that's it. I can't get any of your main big names or anything. I think that's a great one.
That's not, I mean, and that's a, like Melissa kind of, you know, it's a little different take on Santa, considering the movie. I mean,
it's kind of almost more a Halloween movie than a Christmas movie, even though it's a Christmas story, but I don't know.
It can be used for both. Tim Burton was trying to combine them. No.
Same time,
Halloween and Christmas together.
Like
also
a lot of
Tim
things.
Burton, so, you really can't go wrong.
Mm-mm.
Very off, a little side, a little shifted.
One's a little close to my heart. I love that one.
Yes, it is.
I love how the human Santa sounds in it. Like, to me, like, he's as jolly as you expect him and all that.
Right.
But there are moments where he's being put in some really, really tough situations.
Not very awkward for Santa, yes.
Yeah, that you don't hear Santa in those situations very often, but still keeps the jolly, still keeps the cheer to the voice and everything. At number 9, Billy Bob Thornton from Bad Santa from 2003.
Now, I must say I did not actually get through this trailer because this one's a hard no for me.
Oh, okay. No Billy Bob Thornton for you, huh?
Not as Santa. No. It's just wrong.
Could not agree more. Maybe if we were doing a list of worst Santas, which, to be fair, is kind of the note of the movie of Bad Santa. Just kind of shows maybe he's an even better actor than I'm giving him credit for. I don't know. I mean, because he really makes it, like, the character. There's nothing really likable about the character so much. And what is even likable about him, it feels so written in, feels so shoehorned in. Like, it's not a great movie. Mm-hmm. It's not a great performance necessarily. But it's one that gets brought up on these lists all the time.
It
right.
does. And I have to say, you know, when we do get to my favorite Christmas movie, you're going to find this a little odd, I guess, maybe. But this one does not in any way say Christmas spirit to me.
No.
It's kind of the opposite, right?
Yeah.
It's very funny. This came out the same year as Elf in 2003. Yeah. And they both have become sort of, I mean, Elf very much so has become a very traditional Christmas right. for a lot of families.
Yeah, it's
almost they
really up there as high as like exactly Charlie Brown.
Exactly. So this is kind of like the counter programming, I guess you'd say, because I'm sure there's plenty of misanthropes out there who don't like Christmas at all. Are like, yeah, I want Billy Bob Thornton, nasty Santa kind of thing.
At number 8, the great J.K. Simmons in Claws from 2019. Now, this is an animated film, but I think as an honorable mention or outside the lines, J.K. in the new Red One movie right. Plays Santa physically. And do I mean physically? You have never seen Santa built before.
He's ripped, man.
And it's not just for looks. Like, they make it make sense in the story. Like, of course Santa would have to be in good shape. He hits every house in the world. Like, you're not
I like that idea.
The traditional idea of that yeah. roly-poly, holly-jolly guy is mm-hmm. a great image, but it doesn't really line up with the storyline. Mm-hmm. Like this, they really like work with the traditions and make the character work into it to where, yes, Santa would have to be in some pretty dang good shape right. to be able to do this and everything. And J.K. Simmons, like he does with every role, goes all in and makes... I'm speaking more to the Red One character of mm-hmm. him playing Santa. Like that, he's in my top 10 as Santa. He did a great job.
That's really cool.
He really like, especially I've seen him and all of us have pretty much seen him play such dark characters. Mm-hmm. He really lightens himself up and makes this character very likable.
Which mm-hmm. is good. And you know, it's funny because as for such an intense actor, all of his roles are so, he's got so much charisma yeah. that just exudes on all of the things he does. I mean, he makes an insurance sales guy look good, you know?
Yeah.
With the State yeah. Farm commercials. Right. He's even good at that.
Yeah. He really is, yeah.
Well, and I have to say, after watching the trailer for this one, I really want to watch it. It yeah. looks like a great movie.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, yeah. mm-hmm. At number 7, David Harborough from Violent Night from 2022.
Okay, this is the one I watched.
Okay.
And this is why. Because I watched it last year, and I thought it was fantastic. And so I had to watch it again this year.
Okay.
And this, for me, is the diehard of Christmas movies. Because it's an actual Christmas movie featuring mm-hmm. Santa, but it's... in the diehard theme.
An action film, right?
It is very much an action film. And this Santa is ripped.
Yeah.
I mean, you only get to see very briefly in one short little scene, but it's good.
David Harbour.
And it has the Viking undertones of actually reason why he is ripped.
Which is really interesting. And does anyone look more like a Viking than David Harbour?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
seriously. He's one of the – I mean, he's kind of perfect. It's funny that because J.K. Simmons, in Red One, yeah, he's ripped and stuff, but he's still kind of a small guy.
Yeah.
David Harbour is not a small man.
No,
he's a big guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And to say that's kind of the best of both worlds. He's big, but he's also, rah,
yeah.
kind of thing, which is really cool.
I just learned. There's going to be a 2.
Oh,
yeah.
Was that successful? That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, he confirmed it on like his socials mm-hmm. here a little bit. They haven't like officially said it's happening, but if he said it's happening, I believe it.
I believe it.
If Santa said it, I'm going to believe it.
It's hard to tell a new Christmas story after so many years and so many of these that have been told. I'm not really into, and I don't think as we're seeing from box office numbers, audiences are into the horror Christmas stuff. But the horror, the action Christmas stuff,
right.
Sign me up. I'm all in.
That seems like a lot of people
that's
enjoy
working.
It.
Like, that's working well.
This one also, it had those overtones of they mentioned both Home Alone in that movie, and they also mentioned Die Hard.
Oh, nice. So, the little fourth wall.
Yeah, when he's stabbing into the Christmas the sack and pulls out Die Hard and throws it at the guy.
That's good.
One of the first
fight
scenes, it's so good.
It's been on my list since last year to see. I'm watching it before Christmas. Or maybe on Christmas.
Maybe on Christmas. There you go.
I highly recommend it.
That's cool. And thank you,
but also, it's not for the kids.
Yeah.
It's not one for the kids. It has a lot of blood and gore.
Okay, there you go.
Yep. It's kids got achy. Again, Die Hard.
Taking a look at number 6 as we're going through the greatest Santas of all time, greatest actors to play Santa of all time. We have come in, of course, with Edmund Gwenn from Miracle on 34th Street from 1947.
Yes. This has got to be one of my top ones.
It's the classic.
He has that. There's something about Edmund Gwenn, and he was a busy actor back in the 40s and stuff. He played lots of different roles. But for whatever reason, he was just perfect to play Santa in the way they needed him in that film. You know, that mischievous look in his eye, you know, and of course the perfect beard. He looked just like him. The way, you know, that that joy that he has in the face of skepticism and everything else. To me, he's got to be at least he's in the top, probably one or two. I don't know if I could say definitively he's my favorite, but he's right up there.
The courtroom scenes in that movie with him were just, they were so perfect.
Yes.
I mean, he played that character in, you know, he's not in his Santa suit then.
No.
And he's just looks like a normal Joe, and he's still Santa.
He's still Santa. Yeah. He doesn't, so many actors and great actors on this list, they need the costume. They need so much. I mean, they need the props. They need some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. In that, those scenes, he proves to you right then and there, I'm still Santa. And while he's not dressed as Santa, you still know he's Santa.
Yeah.
You don't even need a name tag. To me, he is, I think this is one of those things that changes, or maybe it just grows as you get older, but he's always been Santa to me. And always will be. There's some names that are going to come up on the list, and some others that I'm sure you guys are thinking of out there that have kind of been modernized a little bit. Like, this is a Santa that I enjoy. I like this guy as Santa. I like what they did as Santa.
Right.
The whole mold of Santa, though, begins with Edmund's performance.
Yeah.
And you both touched on my favorite parts of the performance. This isn't the way you would, like, write Santa. I don't think that he plays Santa the way you'd write him. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even he was written in the script. I think as an actor, he takes some liberties that now I associate with Santa.
And that could very well be, yeah.
If I were to meet the big guy, I would have not be surprised if he had a little bit of a mischievous kind of, like,
absolutely.
Like to him. A little bit of his humor was a little
twinkle in his eye.
Yes.
I mean, that comes from somewhere.
And I never thought about that as a kid until that movie. And I see him winking at the little girl. Yeah, that little smile
on his face, right? Yeah, it's perfect.
And I don't know how you, like, okay, I need you to go at about an 8 here. I need you to go at about a 7 here. Like, we do this with some stuff. With this, he does it perfectly. And I don't know, I would love to know more if the director and him worked on this together or something, but everything is perfect. Just the way it needs to be. Not too much, not too little.
You know, it's funny. I think at this time, you know, there hadn't been a lot of Christmas Santa Claus stuff. Maybe if they did show it, it was like in shorts and it was like over the top, super thing. So the fact that he made him like realistic, like this could be the Santa that you meet in the street kind of thing.
Right.
I think that's what got a lot of people, was like, wow, you can actually believe he is Santa.
Mm-hmm. And that was where I kind of wanted to wrap with him on this. He was ahead of his time. Like now, that's what audiences want. They want a little bit of reality. They want it to be able to come. They want some fantasy in here and there, but they want it to hit home.
That believable fantasy. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. He was doing it right there. Like back in 47.
Yeah.
That's amazing. At number 5, the one and only Kurt Russell with The Christmas Chronicles from 2018. One of the more modern Christmas Santas people like.
Except for Melissa.
Some people.
Yeah.
Nope. This is another hard no for me.
Is it Kurt Russell or is it the movie?
It's Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just can't do it, huh?
No. Mm-mm.
I can understand that, but personally, I think he pulls it off.
Yeah.
And I think I would be, and I'm surprisingly enough, just the idea of Kurt Russell playing Santa at first is like initial reaction, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think he does it. He's got the look. I think he can do it. And I think he's a good enough actor.
His beard is too curly.
Ooh.
His beard is, it's like, it looks like hair on your head.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of beard. Who's got a beard like that? Nobody.
Kurt Russell does, apparently.
Yeah, did he grow that himself?
That's a good question. I don't know.
If it had just been the one movie, I think I'd agree 100% with Melissa. But I don't mind this so much because Goldie Hawn shows up, I believe. I haven't seen it. But like in the second or third one or whatever it is, I don't know how many there are.
At least two.
I know Goldie shows up in the real wife, the real combo of that, along with it. And I'm just a gigantic Goldie Hawn fan. So the idea of Goldie Hawn as Miss Claus is one of the most perfect castings I'll ever think of. Well, I could not agree with you more about Kurt Russell. Melissa. Goldie Hawn as Miss Claus is perfect casting to me.
And I like him in other movies. I really do. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of movies I've seen him in that I like him in. But Emma's Santa just doesn't
do it for you. It's kind of refreshing because I don't know that I hear most of anybody say much about Kurt Russell negative. And not to say you were saying negative, it just didn't do it for you. No. But or me either, because I agree with you. It's kind of nice, actually, a little bit. It's refreshing.
It's a little bit of a weird conundrum in my brain because, like, I picture him more in, I don't know, rom-com or romantic-type movies where I don't want to see that as Santa. However, David Harbour, on the other hand... I'm okay with him.
See, now, Santa. Look at this.
I know. It's a weird cognitive dissonance in my head right now, Seth. And I don't know how to come to terms with it. So
it's funny how that works.
Pay for therapy for me.
It could be that David Harbour is closer to your age, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's something to do with it. But
that's Kurt a conversation quite a bit older for another day. And not this show. So let's move on.
I see Kurt Russell and I see Snake. Right away from
Plissken? Right.
So I want Santa with the eye patch. That's what I'm saying.
See, now that would be a fun. That'd be pull that one off.
Grown Radio, WFHR.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
At number 4, the great Tom Hanks from the Polar Express from 2004. I would like to see Tom Hanks playing Santa in a live action thing just to see, you know, because he's such a good actor. And I can only imagine that he'd pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, I think one of the problems with the Polar Express, certainly the technology wasn't where it needed to be. And Zemeckis
was an interesting choice. Yeah.
He got a little ahead of himself on it and stuff and everything. Unfortunately, that all takes away from the incredible voice acting that Tom Hanks does in this, because he's just as good as a voice actor as Toy Story has shown us and everything, as he is as a real actor. And he really nails all these characters he plays in it.
Okay. But for me, this was the one trailer that scored the lowest. The trailer's horrible.
It is.
It's an awful trailer.
No, they really messed it up.
It doesn't give you anything.
It's rough. Yeah.
I mean, and granted, I watched half of it in double speed, but that didn't matter.
No.
Although it was a little startling when the name of the movie popped on the screen, so it was like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Polar Express just smacked me in the face.
Yeah.
Got it.
I think, like a lot of things, they were well intended and just a little too early on this one.
It's interesting. It has become kind of a more cult classic Christmas movie. Because I remember when it came out, they, like you both have mentioned, I think they really messed it up.
trailer.
Not only the trailer, but I think the kind of animation that they used and everything. It was, I mean, do people remember how popular this book was? It was huge.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of just, whatever it was that just the mistakes that they ended up making with it, it still became a popular movie, but it's kind of the butt of some jokes too, because of the weird animation and stuff like that.
I mean, I do want to see it
because
while I thought the trailer was horrible, the fact that the book is so popular and I was kind of intrigued by what little bit of animation I saw in the trailer.
Right.
It wasn't much. But yeah, and of course Tom Hanks voicing it. Yeah. I mean, he's fantastic in almost everything that he does. So yeah, no, I would watch it for that reason alone.
You rarely see this, if at all. I don't know if there are any examples I can give you of this, where a book is gigantic, it's huge, movie comes out, and it actually brings down book sales. Like, you don't see, that's bad rare. This movie was. And to the point where this is, I'm sure that for some families, it's still a Christmas classic book and everything. It's not anywhere near where, before this, it's in the New York Times 10 bestsellers every Christmas. And
right, exactly.
I think it's there anymore, and I'm not saying it's just because of that, the movie being so bad, but it really hurt things. Really didn't help sales.
It really
did. I mean, they got a redeeming chance here, though. They could make a live action out of it,
and I think they could do well by it. Yeah,
better.
And maybe bring Tom Hanks back.
He's
willing to do it. Yeah,
I mentioned this before. You know, they're so quick to remake stuff. How about remaking some things that actually could use to be remade? We're gonna get to a remake in a little bit here and everything. But instead of remaking some of these classics and everything, how about remaking some of the stuff that didn't go so well?
They messed up on the first time around. Yeah.
At number three, the legend Ed Asner in Elf from 2003. I love the idea of younger generations, what we were saying about Edmund Gwenn, younger generations saying that about Ed Asner. That's their Santa, because I've heard it. I've heard it from some young people, but in people in their early teens or late teens, early 20s, that's their Santa is Ed Asner. And I just love that. I'm a big Ed Asner guy, and I just really enjoy that he is kind of Santa for so many.
Well, as regular listeners of our morning show will know, I've never seen this movie, but I've also never seen the trailer. And now that I've seen the trailer, because I am not a Will Ferrell fan. I am not. I don't like his comedy. I don't like the way he acts in movies. But I do want to watch this movie after seeing the trailer. However, Ed Asner does not appear in the trailer, so I can't comment on him as Santa. But knowing all the other roles that he's played, I mean, he does look like, you were saying, the perfect Santa.
I gotta say, Melissa, to your point about Will Ferrell, because that is something I'm also not his biggest fan as well. In a lot of his, some of his comedy movies.
The dumb, funny movies. Yeah, I'm not a big fan
of those movies to begin with. This one, he plays it the way he needs to, for sure, because it's over the top and he has to be. He is not, for me, in this, when I finally saw it, he is not the weak link in the cast, actually. And I think he actually does quite a good job with him and Zooey Deschanel and their relationship. They actually do. The character I have the most problem with casting was James Caan as his father. James and I have had that discussion before. We don't need to go into that. But in general, the other parts of the cast are great. Yeah. I mean, you have Ed Asner as Santa. You've got Bob Newhart as
Buddies. I never knew that
Buddies.
Marie Steenburgen was in it.
And yes.
She's so good.
And she is so good in it.
She has a scene in there that maybe my favorite she's ever done, and that's saying something. This is directed by Jon Favreau, well before the Iron Man run and some of that stuff and everything, and you see some of that in this. I think
he's in it too, and Peter Dinklage.
Yes,
Peter Dinklage.
Legendary scene.
Oh my God.
Legendary scene.
That's one of the best scenes of the whole movie.
That was in the trailer. So I didn't get to see part of it.
I think that everything is so dead on, Melissa. I think with Will's performance, if Will Ferrell only did one movie, this would have to be it. Mm-hmm. If he was only going to ever play one role, this would have to be it. Because his skill set is I don't think it's perfect for any other character but this one. He's played a lot of characters, and mm-hmm. I've enjoyed a lot of his work. I am a fan of his, but I don't know that any movie he's at, I couldn't. Well, I could see so and so playing this character. I can't see anybody else's Buddy the Elf. I can't see anybody else doing this. I couldn't see Robin Williams doing this role as well as Will Ferrell did, and I can't think of many bigger compliments I can give.
Wow, yeah,
that's a big one from you.
But I 100% get what you guys are saying about his comedy being kind of here, yeah. there, and stuff.
It's not a disparaging remark against his talent, yeah, because he's, yeah, obviously very talented. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
there's no
is.
Questioning of that. It's just, it's not personally my taste, which I think I'm entitled to, mm-hmm. Seth.
I think if you were going to say
no,
hey, you could, you know, you want to have somebody see one Will Ferrell movie, this is the one.
That's what I've heard over and over and over.
But exactly.
As, you know what? Yet I have not found it available to me on a platform that I can access.
Oh, right. Oh, that's interesting, too.
And I'm not going to watch a pirated one on or somewhere.
Yeah. A quick note on this, too, is interesting. It's one of those movies that was popular enough that they turned it into a stage show.
Yeah.
And then they went and took the stage show and they animated it, which is actually the first version that I saw.
Really?
Now, this is interesting part. To your point, James, about no one else being able to play Buddy, the animated thing, it's a musical, so they added songs and stuff to it. Ed Asner reprises his role as Santa.
Oh,
he does
cool.
the voice of Santa in it, which I thought was really great. Now, Will Ferrell does not do the voice of Buddy the Elf, but here's the difference. Buddy the Elf that's in the musical is actually very different from the Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, yeah. it's the
so it works.
The theme is there. Exactly. It works. It's Jim Parsons does the voice of Buddy, because he's a tremendous singer, of course, as well. Yeah. And he is a very good actor, but it's not the same. It's not the same Buddy. It's similar, but it's not. And that's why you can get away, because I agree with you, James, that Will, I think that performance is very singular for Will Ferrell, but you can take the character and go in a little bit different direction, and it works for other people too.
Right
and that's a good thing that they can do when they do a musical versus the book, or a musical versus
it's a
the
different,
movie.
It's
a different platform.
It's different.
It's a different,
exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lot of different things with it.
So all you Wicked, I know Wicked's been fine. People haven't been complaining that much about it.
Right.
No, I don't think so.
No.
At number two, Sir Richard Attenborough from Miracle on 34th Street, the remake from 1994.
This one I absolutely adore.
Yes,
I love this movie. It makes me cry every time I see it. The cast on this one is too perfect for me too. It's got what's her name? Mara Wilson.
Mara Wilson, yes.
As the little girl, and she's just too perfect in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, just real quick side note, Mara Wilson doesn't do much acting anymore. She's actually a writer and a creator, which I thought is really cool. She's I heard her. She's very, extremely smart. She is very cool. Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great cameos in this one, too. Isn't Allison, I want to say Allison Janney's in it for a second or something, and I just love her. And I'm not, more times than not, I will say I push against remakes of any kind, no matter who's in the cast or anything like that. There's something about the casting of this one that really did it for me. Mm-hmm. And all of us growing up with Richard Attenborough's voice and everything.
I mean, yes.
To hear
tremendous.
It in that particular way. And for a lot of people that hadn't get to hear him act, that don't know him as an actor, know him as a narrator or something, or anything. Just a great performance.
Right.
Great performance by him. And Mara is some of the best child acting you'll see.
Yes.
Like, it really is.
Hands down.
She had a couple of, like
Matilda.
Iconic. Matilda was the other iconic role that she had when she was a
that
child
age.
Actor.
Oh, I'm familiar.
Yeah,
my sister loved that movie.
Richard Attenborough, by the way, yes, also a tremendous film director. Gandhi, a couple of other amazing films that he directed. Yeah. Most people will remember him from, of course, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
That's probably his biggest acting role.
Yeah.
That he was physically in, but all of his voiceover work.
I know,
too.
But he did so many, like you said, documentaries and everything.
All the nature,
the Planet Earth ones, and all that stuff. Yeah,
you don't get better than that.
But he is. I mean, he's one of the few people who can do that role without, it's going to be hard not to think about Edmund Gwynn in that role because of how iconic the performance is, but because he's got that great voice and he's got the look, he can pull off Santa.
He
can do it
for some reason. It's the rounded face to give you that classic Santa look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would never thought of that. Oh, that's so interesting.
Anyone can grow a beard, right?
Right. Anyone. But it's almost anyone. Mine comes in a little straggling.
Tell me about it.
I love that you mentioned Alice and Janie. I think that was the first movie I ever saw her in. And her, I could see her performance, in, even though I haven't watched this movie in years, she does such a good job.
It's amazing. She's amazing.
She is good.
Do you guys have any outside the lines you want to mention before we get to number one?
Go ahead. Do you have one?
I didn't look. Guys.
Oh, that's right.
Come on. Sure, I crammed one whole movie and nine. Well, nine.
You did your part.
Yeah, right. I did my part. I did my research.
You did your part.
Yeah. I'm going to give an honorable mention to a voice. Of course, there were many actors who played Santa in, like, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all those animated classics from the 60s and the 70s. I'm going to give mine to Mickey Rooney, who does the voice of Santa in Year Without a Santa Claus. He does a tremendous job with that. He sings a couple of songs. Of course, you know, Mickey was the biggest star. No, I'm kidding. But he does he does such a great job. He does it with Shirley Booth, I think, does the voice, her last for final role, who does Mrs. Claus and has a big part in it. By the way, I would recommend that because I know for some people that was a big special that they watch every year, including my wife. I never saw it when I was a kid. For whatever reason, where I lived, they never played it. So I got to know it afterwards, and I have to say I really like it. Well, and that's part of the reasons why I think that Mickey Rooney is very good in that. So Year Without a Santa Claus, another Rankin-Bass production. Yes.
Other actors that have played the role over the years, Bryan Cranston in The Santa Claus. You had Kevin James in Elmo's Christmas. John Goodman in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Leslie Nielsen in All I Want for Christmas.
Oh, dear.
Christopher Plummer in Blizzard.
Oh, dear. Christopher Plummer? Wow. Well, he was a versatile actor. He could probably do it.
Fred Astaire, George Wendt, Chris Elliott, Tim Conway over the years have played the character. Tracy Morgan played the character once. The great Art Carney, Lloyd Bridges have all played this character.
Oh, my God. I got to mention the Art Carney one. That's from an episode of The Twilight Zone. And it's one of the best episodes they ever did.
Oh, yeah.
It's an amazing one where I don't know if I should spoil it or not. It's a 60 years old. Yeah. He's a homeless guy and an alcoholic. And he finds a bag and it goes from there, basically.
So
he finds
out
he's actually someone he didn't realize he was.
The writing on that show.
Oh,
my God.
It's called The Night of the Meek.
The Night of the Meek. Yep.
Season 2, episode 11.
It's an amazing episode.
Wow, that was the second season.
Okay. Yeah.
Man, they're just bangers.
1960,
Almost every episode
the performance,
of the
Art Carney's such a... Oh, my God. Everyone knows... Such an underrated actor. He was so good. And everyone remembers from The Honeymooners.
Yeah. Thankfully, he had a couple roles late in his career that I think stood out. But yes, 100% you're right.
But it's the iconic mall Santa fake beard look.
It is. Because, he plays a down on his luck Santa, you know, that trope. Yeah. But it turns into something different. Yeah, it's really cool.
And at number one on the list, Tim Allen from The Santa Claus from 1994. I don't know what it is about his performance or what it is with this movie, but people love Tim Allen as Santa Claus.
They do.
They really do. These movies,
they're
that popular where they kept making them. And they might even have another one coming out.
They have made, in the last couple of years, they've made a Christmas series.
Yeah.
On
that's
Disney
right.
Plus.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
With a whole universe now. It's like the whole Santa Claus universe. So
I personally, I wouldn't put it in my top 10, but it doesn't matter because enough people have to where, you know, they just keep making these.
I'm with you on this one. There's nothing wrong with his performance as Santa.
No.
Not at all. It's perfectly, but I don't consider it that because it's hard to forget he's still Tim Allen, you know?
It's still
Tim Allen doing his shtick, right?
Yeah. Like a lot of comedians, it's no different from Tim Allen from Home Improvement or Tim Allen on stand-up, A Night at the Improv. Like, it's the same Tim Allen I've seen my whole life. And again, nothing against that. He's making a great living at it.
Yep.
But it's not really these other performances we're talking about.
And I would push back on that just a little bit and say he leans into that.
That's
he
true.
Uses that in this movie because he's a reluctant Santa. He kind of got it thrust upon him, like, put on the suit and
that's a great point.
They'll take care of the rest.
Yep.
And then there's him in his boxers and the Santa suit. Not exactly what you expect to see as Santa.
That's right. And they're fun movies to watch.
Yes.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They are fun. They're entertaining, for sure.
The comedy in there is really good.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, you know, he shaves his beard off and it pops back. And it's just like...
Right. I mean, the concept is hilarious.
Yes.
The concept is great.
The concept is, I think, what really wins it over. And he does... because he is a comedian and he's mm-hmm. an actor, I think that he pulls it off well enough, obviously, to be number one.
Yep.
Where I don't think that a lot of other actors could do the performance he does in this because mm-hmm. of so much of what you're saying there,
it's based
Melissa.
On him. It seemed right. more on his
so
kind
good.
Of comedy.
It's so
it
true.
Is. Which is yeah. a great which is a great point. Yeah.
And for the people who are, you know, big fans of him, obviously they're going to like it. And for people who are, you know, maybe borderline, it's like, yeah, you know, it's okay. He does all right. I like mm-hmm. it. It's good
exactly.
enough.
Which is a big portion of his fan base yeah. that yeah. falls into that already. So it just is goes right into it. And I think it's one of the first times, I think part of, it's not just his performance, but part of the concept of the movie too that is so like engaging and pulls mm-hmm. you in and is relatable almost
yep.
even if you don't celebrate Christmas, you kind of watch it, you're like, okay, well, I know if this was thrust upon me, and some of the more funny holiday comedic bits are the beard coming back and some of that stuff, like that's really good.
That's absolutely fabulous.
And as far as, you know, like his IMDb page, there's not a whole lot of other like big, you know, big hitters for him yeah. outside of some of the voice acting he's done.
Yeah. Well, and Buzz Lightyear, he's been tremendous. Yeah.
Right.
He's been yes. very good
right.
with
no,
that
it's been fantastic
as well.
Got
to give
that.
Him a lot of credit for that. And I have to give him credit just because on a little side note once more, because we do that on the show, right? Yeah. if you want to see him actually do some, the only time he really does some acting, by his own admission, by the way, mm-hmm. Galaxy Quest.
Yes, yes.
That is okay. the one time.
I have not seen that.
You got to see when that one gets, I actually recommend for you.
When
I think you'd like
he
that one.
Gets... Okay. praise from Mr. Alan Rickman,
yeah.
who went into that movie with a very low opinion, actually, of Mr. Tim Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed him something there. He wrote, because Alan Rickman kept a diary, which is now available for people yeah. to read if you
oh,
want
wow.
to.
It's
you
beautiful.
See the progression of Tim Allen and, you know, of him becoming, and then he writes this, actually, very seeing what happened to Alan Rickman when he passed away, a very moving tribute to Tim Allen in there of how he finally got it.
Mm.
And that moment that he got it, it's really cool. So, sorry. Not Christmas related, but got
oh, no, it's
in.
A great
well,
note.
And,
I'm glad
and I'm
going
to throw it there, too, for Richer or Poorer, which maybe doesn't hold up so well in today's world. But, you know, him and Christy Alley, it was kind of funny. It was funny, and I enjoyed
go.
It in my preteen years.
Hey, right any movie that Melissa's willing to talk about. That's good. That's a win.
Thank you, Seth.
Touched. This was a blast and very touching. Director's cut. Melissa,
Seth,
thank you so
nice
much.
To me.
Thank you so much for hanging
it's
out with
the Christmas
us.
Spirit.
We need to do this every time.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That's not where the money
thank
is,
you for
dear.
Having
that's
me.
Not where the money is. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap up the show. We're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we had recorded several poems and a couple of stories for Christmas for our Elf Call Center. And I think it would be great to play yeah. them right now when we come
lovely.
Back on Director's Cut.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin's Office of Children's Mental Health has a new tool to help parents understand their preschool-aged children when they're having big feelings. Melissa Kay reports.
When children are struggling with their emotions and acting out, parents don't always know what to do, many times resorting to a tablet or TV to calm the child. This doesn't help them learn to identify emotions and manage feelings in a healthy way. Children communicate how they feel with their behaviors. This tool helps families identify feelings as well as ways to calm challenging behaviors. It's called the Early Childhood Feelings Thermometer. The thermometer features 5 zones, starting at green, the calm zone, and lists feelings and behaviors associated with that zone, and goes up to red, the furious zone, with suggestions to help the child in the moment, such as vigorous physical exercise or taking a warm shower or bath. You can find out more at children.wi.gov.
Travel Wisconsin has released its snow report tool for the winter season. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
Winter is here in Wisconsin, and there's plenty to do around the state. A resource for finding your next adventure is the Snow Report, and Logan Rogge of Travel Wisconsin says it shows more than weather conditions around the state.
It's more than just learning about, you know, what the conditions are. It's really this full-fledged planning resource. So you can click a destination on the map and say it's a snowmobile trail or a ski hill, and you're going to find ideas for nearby restaurants to eat at, places you can spend the night, events that are happening in the area, and all these other ideas to just sort of round out that winter getaway. And you can check that out at travelwisconsin.com/snowreport.
You can also find other winter activities and information on the Travel Wisconsin website. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Former President Jimmy Carter passed away this past weekend at the age of 100. Many remember Carter for his decency, endless service to humankind, which included his involvement with Habitat for Humanity. But what most people don't know is that he was also related to Motown Records founder Berry Gordy. Gordy said that in 1978, his sister Esther did some digging into their family tree. Gordy says he was filled with shock and pride when he found out that he and Carter were actually third cousins. There's as much drama off-screen surrounding actress Blake Lively and actor-director Justin Baldoni as there was on-screen for their film It Ends With Us. Following Lively's lawsuit claiming Baldoni sexually assaulted her and launched a smear campaign against her, Baldoni is filing a countersuit claiming Lively and her team launched a smear campaign against him. Does anything good ever come from a Hollywood smear campaign? Oh yeah, publicity. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Happy New Year! I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A colder start to 2025 with mostly cloudy skies, but on the breezy side as well, with temperatures falling into the lower 20s by late in the day. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low near 14. Partly sunny on Thursday with a high near 21. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special New Year's Day edition. My little sister Heather will be here. We'll talk college football playoffs and New Year's resolutions. Join us to ring in the new year.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And the stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. And the children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Well, away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. Well, the moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes did appear? But a miniature sleigh, and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. Well, more rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. And as dry leaves are before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. Well, as I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. Well, he was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. And a bundle of toys he had flung on his back, he looked like a peddler.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Happy New Year. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff wishing you the best for 2025, especially curated. Matinair on Air coming up for you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out, because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The FBI is investigating this morning's truck attack in New Orleans as a terrorist act. The driver plowed into a crowd on Bourbon Street, killing 10 people and injuring 35.
He was hell-bent on creating the carnage and the damage that he did.
New Orleans Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick.
This man was trying to run over as many people as he possibly could. It was not a DUI situation.
After the crash, the driver opened fire on police, wounding two officers. Police returned fire, killing him. CBS News national security contributor Samantha Vinograd says investigators are checking to see if the suspect was connected to or inspired by a terror group.
There are a range of motivations that could have been employed by this individual who we now have learned is deceased. This could have been terrorism related. It could be criminal in nature. It could be a personal grievance.
The FBI is also analyzing potential explosive devices recovered near the scene. CBS News special report.
Join us live.